What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Monday, September 30th, 2019. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Forbes 30 Under 30, a.k.a. the second best baby blues in San Francisco, a.k.a. the engaged one, at Tim Geddes.
It's been 11 days since Kevin's mom's birthday. There you go.
How'd it go? I never heard. That was a big thing leading up to it, that every time we got close that day, somebody would say it's that close to Kevin's mom's birthday, but then I never heard how the birthday went, Kevin. I'm not joking with you. I hearing about it starting.
I went to drop off like flowers.
Uh-huh.
She wasn't there.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Did you just leave him on the doorstep?
Mommy wasn't there.
I left him in a nice
vase
that she had, yeah.
Did she like that or was she mad that you weren't there?
Yeah, she liked him. I also got her some like she has a backyard that she like is decked out. So I got her some tulip buds.
Nice.
Them.
Did you plant them or are they just like hanging out?
No, they're just there's a bag full of them.
The bulbs?
Yeah.
All right. Bulbs. Good job. Sounds like you killed it. Did you get her anything? She's basically your mom growing up.
Definitely not.
You're a real piece
of work. I shouted her out a bunch.
She doesn't watch this. She doesn't know you're getting shout outs. Show
about video games.
How was your weekend?
It was fantastic.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did you play any games?
Total lie.
Yeah.
I was sick most of it and had a lot of work to do. But I did
it
all.
How do you feel now?
Am
I going to get sick because
of this? No, it's okay. I mean, at this point, if you're going to get sick, it's because of everyone else that's sick. Joey.
Who else is sick?
Dead as fuck. Yeah. Dead.
Is she back yet?
I don't know.
No?
I don't know. She's alive, Greg.
Jesus Christ. Nobody checked in on her?
Mm-mm.
She slacked. I think I put out a Slack over the weekend she responded to, like in a jovial fashion.
Undead.
Huh, wow. Getting ready for Halloween.
Return of
Walking
Dead.
We're getting ready to talk about why Troy Baker isn't in Borderlands 3, the definitive edition. Bungie wanting a non-Destiny game, and Kojima's BB is going to talk to you because this is kind of funny games
and
daily.
And it is a slow Monday.
It is not. It is a packed Monday. Six items on the Roper Report. Don't do anything yet. It's kind of funny games daily, each and every weekday. On a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, with your questions, comments, concerns, and everything under the video game sun. Then tune in and watch us record it live, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screwed up, so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe. You can't jack my style and bend my words.
I got your pants too, bitch.
God damn. What are we going to do? Kevin, what happens when two beautiful white guys just meld into one semi-attractive white guy? What do we do? I don't know. Kevin, what do we do? Kevin, get the hose. It's going to get gross in here. Housekeeping for you. Andy's got a brand new video up on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. It's his Zero Death Run in Link's Awakening.
It's fantastic. It's a highlight stream, like edited highlight stream.
You and I have been on this show a lot together.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think we've been on a Monday in a while.
Yeah.
What is going on with these highlight streams we're putting up? Because for a while we were shadow dropping stuff. I think we still are.
It's just happened. It's one of those things. There's no promises being made. It's not a new show. It's not
sure.
We're testing some things out, seeing the response to some stream content. You know what I mean? What bullshit you got for me now?
I was 100% with you.
Yeah.
And then I really thought this was going to be ice coffee. And it's like lukewarm. So like, it's just like, my brain was like, what just happened? What's wrong?
But no, we've been trying a bunch of different styles of streaming videos, whether it's just kind of like
we do the stream
unedited,
put up,
just put up, or in-house edited, which would mean Barrett edits it or Andy edits it. Or having people like Chloe edited one of them.
Sure.
Or Dennis J did the Control one and the Link's Awakening one. And they're amazing. Check out the Link's Awakening one. Dennis does a great job of finding all the best moments of Andy's streams, putting them together, adding his own flair. He's a funny guy. That's the key to
He's
editing.
Funny.
Is you need to be able to know how to edit, but you also need comedic timing. You need to add your own flair to the pizzazz.
Sure.
Make it a Kit Kat caboodle.
Sure. Because we all know Andy is funny.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem, of course, Andy streams, nobody watches them. So why would we just take funny content no one's watching somewhere else and put it on a site no one's going to watch?
Yeah.
Instead, we edit it, get marginally more viewers than Andy gets on his streams.
Yes.
Remind Andy that he's nothing without us.
It's a lot of tests happening, folks. So give us your feedback. What do you think of the streams? What do you think of gameplay in general? How should Kinda Funny do gameplay? I want to know.
Thank you to our Patreon producers, patreon.com/reretrogames, Blackjack and Mohammed Mohammed. Today we're brought to you by Third Love and Quip, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Six items on the Roper Report.
Baker's dozen.
Kevin, what is wrong?
I'm just tired.
How? You just had the weekend, though. How? You can't.
Did too much.
You do too much at work as well.
Yeah.
At what point do you just become dust, you know?
It's coming.
When do you get to go home and lay in the iron lung? That's what I'm worried about. Also, your hair, man. Jeez, it's long. Look at it in the back there. Lord almighty. Number one on the Roper Report, why Troy Baker isn't in Borderlands 3. This is Kirk McKeend over at VG247. If you remember, of course.
I do.
This has been a whole brouhaha for months now. Randy Pitchford was asked on Twitter, hey, is Troy going to be Reese? Yeah, Randy said, no, Troy turned it down. Troy's like, I didn't turn it down. You guys said no. There's been back and forth. It's been ugly. Here's Kirk at VG247. We recently got a chance to talk to Baker during a fan event for Retro Replay, a Let's Play series the actor hosts alongside the other Troy Baker, Nolan North. I love that. During our chat, he was openly disappointed that he didn't get a chance to play Reese again in Borderlands 3. Quote, so they came to me and they were like, do you want to do this, Baker explained, which I said, absolutely. And then they made it impossible for me to do the role. It had nothing to do with money. It had nothing to do with money. They just simply would not go about doing it the way that we needed it to be done. So then it was like, I never said no. Gosh. Did Troy know he was talking to a reporter? It sounds like he's at a Retro Replay thing with his Guinness just sitting there talking. We asked Baker to clarify what he meant by this, be it scheduling conflicts or something else. Quote, no. It was simply a matter that they wouldn't go union, he replied. And I can't do a non-union gig. And without getting too deep into the weeds of that, we had long conversations about this. We always knew going into it that this was going to be the thing. They were going to take these characters and put them from the Tales from the Borderlands series, from Telltale, into Borderlands proper. I've been waiting for this call. They were like, do you want to do this? And I said, yes. They never, because they would never move from that position. I'm not mad. It's invariably a completely different character, but it still sings. Stings. Fuck, it's hard to read quotes that are like just talking.
Yeah.
When it's a prepared quote, we all go, this is such a garbage quote. Or a written word in general. But when Troy's out there doubling up sentences over and over.
Gibbering and jabbing. Now, the fun little kind of funny thing that we can add to this.
Hold on. Before you do that, I'm just going to bring in Chad's question. Because, yes, Chat I do up. Think there's an interesting relation to us here. Chad wrote in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. It says, morning, folks. With the reveal this morning that Troy Baker, as a SAG-AFTRA member, couldn't reprise his role of Reese in Borderlands 3 because Gearbox wouldn't go union, do you think this is something we'll see more of? Do you think this now becoming such a high-profile story will force the hands of publishers to allow their voice actors to unionize? I also wonder how often this happens, considering it took one of, if not the, most popular voice actors, sorry, Nolan, to make a headline. That said, I love this solidarity, and Troy continues to demonstrate that he is one of the kindest humans alive. Also, let your voice actors unionize, Randy. What the fuck? Cheers. So, yes, I already know where you're going with this, which is an interesting story. If you all remember, we here at Kinda Funny did an animated series called Kinda Funny, the Animated Series. In episode one, Principal Christopher Walken was played by none other than Troy Baker.
Yeah.
And the idea, of course, is that that would be a reoccurring character throughout the entire run of the animated series.
Well, on top of that, he was going to play two characters. He was going to play the principal. He was also going to play Troy, who was like the jock guy.
Oh, I do vaguely remember this.
Who was a character in the show that just doesn't ever have a voice.
Yeah.
And the reason he doesn't have a voice is because he's Wendy's boyfriend in the show.
Yeah, I vaguely remember that. Yeah,
yeah. I had beef with Troy, and we did it. He pulled a favor for us totally, which is like, yeah, I'll do a fucking voice for you. He ended up getting kind of in trouble for it.
Yeah.
Just a little. It was more of a slap on the wrist. Like, yo, you can't be doing that shit.
Yeah.
So when we went back, we were like, hey, we want to do the whole series, like 10 episodes or whatever the hell it was at that point, six episodes, I think. We had to like go through his people. And, like, he didn't want it to be that way. He was totally, he's like, dude, I want to do this. Like, let's make it work. But us, especially back then, being the people we were, we got maybe two steps into that process, and we're like, oh, man, it's complicated. And, like, it's going to require not too much money, but the way that the money had to go was too complicated for what we were set up for.
Yeah.
Gearbox They can handle that shit.
This and that's of course the argument to be made here, right? Is that Kind of Funny in the spare bedroom at the kitchen table and Nick writing all these scripts was not the same as Gearbox. However, there's a lot of different stuff going on here. Remember that when the David Eddings lawsuit stuff was happening, right? And he was saying when he got replaced as Claptrap, this is a similar thing, right? That he had left and he worked at Gearbox, did the voice of Claptrap, and didn't get paid extra because of it. That's kind of, and I, not the payment thing. I don't know anything about that other than what Eddings has talked about publicly. But that still seems to be the case with how they do the voices in general, right? That after the Troy thing happened, I wondered if it was this based on what had happened with us. We had never had that kind of SAG conversation before because we never did something like that before. So there had been so much time between Borderlands 2 and Borderlands 3. I wondered after this happened with Troy if it was a union thing. And then on top of that, I wondered how that would affect one Ashley Birch, who, of course, is Tiny Tina in the game. Mm. Tiny Tina is in the game. It is Ashley on the kindoffunny.com/ you're wrong if I'm wrong about that, doing Tiny Tina's voice. Like, I was wondering how she got around it. Because that's the other thing with it. The union shit makes everything so complicated. No, don't get me wrong. Unions do a lot of great. I'm not saying they're bad. But I know, like, when I go and do the Lego games, because I'm not union, I have to do a Taft-Hartley agreement. That's something weird. That like, there's, like, paperwork on top of paperwork that is, like, we're bringing this person in because he has to do his voice because of X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's this weird thing of I am also talking out my ass to an extent here. But for a long time, not forever, a long time, Telltale didn't use SAG-AFTRA voice actors. Obviously, towards the end, that changed. We're talking about Tales from the Borderland right here. Troy is in that, obviously. Laura Bailey is in that, all that. But I remember, and I'd have to go look at it now, there's something different about the credits, where if you look through the credits of a Telltale game where they use both union and non-union, they get credited in different ways because of it. Yeah. Like, there's so many intricacies to, I can't even talk today, complications to using a voice, a SAG person or a union voice actor versus a non-union voice actor, that I do wonder what this means for how Gearbox does it. You know, I think Chad asked, you know, is it weird we don't hear more of this in general? I don't think so, because I don't think this is something that happens often. In many ways, we've talked about
this. I think it is. I'd imagine you think this, so? I'd imagine this happening all the time. I mean, if it happened to us, I'm sure it's happening all over the place. You just don't hear about it because most people don't have podcasts that years later they're randomly telling the story.
Sure.
You know?
But I think we're two sides of the same coin, just different directions with this one. I'm saying, I wonder how much this happens in terms of AAA video games. That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've talked about this before, is that Borderlands 3, Gearbox in general, a company in game development out of time.
Yeah.
Right? Where it is like, they're still in 2007, right? Now they're in the modern day. I think in probably back then it was easier to get away with, oh, we have a whole team of non-union voice actors. Who cares? Nobody even knows voice actors at that time, right? To jump here and have it be different and still be hiring people from inside the studio, while on one hand, awesome, right? Elisa, right? I'm saying it as if you would know. Oh, hold on. Hold on. Don't leave me, Tim. Don't do it. You're looking at your computer. Stop it.
No, I wasn't going to.
I know what you're doing.
I was going to fill the time.
Yeah, at least over at Gearbox, right? She is one of the Calypso twins.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's one of the main she is the main villain of the game, right? She is the God Queen, Tyreen. And she works at Gearbox's new media at Gearbox, right? Like, I think that's an awesome, what a fucking rad perk to be, to audition in the company and get to be this game and have that different thing. I don't know if, and I have no idea if that means she got any kind of payment more?
Doubt
anything
it.
That thing?
Highly doubt it, because that's how that works. And is that right? Is that not right? I think that the answer is it's not right. But how can it be right? It's like, okay, well, if she's not still responsible for all of her normal job roles, and part of that's being taken away to then be able to have this opportunity, then all of a sudden it's a bit more fair.
Sure, if you're balancing out the workload.
But yeah, but it's like, you know, we have a lot of friends that are in situations like this where their time is not necessarily being paid for because it's a cool opportunity. And it's like, that's a delicate balance that, you know, the Wild West is over. Like, we are no longer 100%. in this place where, whether it's new media or video games, like, these things have existed. There are systems in place. I think it's more on the SAG front, where it's not too many video game voice actors are in that. That's a more traditional Hollywood thing. So we see a lot of the bigger names, the people that are like, oh, how come it's always Troy? It's always Laura Bailey. It's always Travis in these things. It's like, well, because some of these companies are just going to get SAG. They need to get the SAG people,
sure.
And they're the SAG people. So it's kind of like they are already, not only are they the cream of the crop because people know about them, they're the cream of the crop because they're part of this group that is immediately looked at, right?
Here's what I want to do. This is a statement from Eddings when all this stuff was going on. I'm reading at Ars Technica, who is actually quoting IGN. In a statement to IGN, a Gearbox spokesperson said that Gearbox works to treat and compensate all voice actors at industry standards. We offer the opportunity for salaried employees to voice characters in the game, but it is not a mandatory responsibility to their job requirements. In this particular case, the Eddings case, now that he was no longer an employee, we offered him an industry standard rate, but we're not able to reach an agreement. Talking about that, how much it was offered for him, right? We offer the opportunity for salaried employees to voice characters in the game, but it's not a mandatory responsibility to their job requirements.
Okay, no, so it's kind of the opposite of what I was saying, but still, if they're paying, then it's fine. An industry standard, that gets a little...
Well, that was talking... The industry standard was talking to what Eddings was getting.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it wasn't... I don't know if that... What they were offering Eddings now that he was gone. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if they're saying for a salaried employee in there.
Oh, that's what it sounded like to me.
Let me try it again then, all right? We offer the opportunity for salaried employees to voice characters in the game, but is not a mandatory responsibility to their job requirements, period. In this particular case, they're talking about when Eddings left, and was they were like, hey, you no longer work here. Do you want to be Claptrap again? We offered him an industry standard rate, saying just to be, oh, that's a voice actor rate,
yeah.
What they consider a voice actor worth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, interesting. I am so fascinated by all this stuff because it seems so ridiculously complicated, but it's just another language that these business people need to understand because they're making games that feature insane amounts of voice acting. So it's like you can't just kind of be like, oh, we kind of understand this. It's like you really need to have a team of people, a legal team that understands the ins and outs of all this. And like you talking about Telltale where it's like, oh, the credits have to be separated. That needs to be correct or else it's going to fuck everybody. And it's going to make everybody have worse opportunities, cause everyone to lose opportunities or to get opportunities not at the value that they should be.
Yeah.
So
the Eddings tweet that led to the statement, right, was this: for the first time, I insisted on getting paid for my performance and all of a sudden they couldn't afford me.
Mm-hmm.
So, it sounds like to me what I'm reading on the tea leaves of the Dave Eddings Claptrap situation is that he did not get paid anything for being Claptrap outside of his salary. It was just like a cool thing to go be Claptrap in this game you're all working on.
There's another fascinating side to this that I do think is in the newer stages where people are functioning as both talent and personalities. And you know we've been doing this forever, but Troy is newer at it, like with Retro Replay having this platform where is constantly in front of the public being able to just randomly talk at meet and greets, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Saying things, saying how he feels. And like there's so much power in that. And you know, with great power comes great responsibility because you can really use your star power to kind of twist the necks of the people that are giving you opportunities. And that's very dangerous. And it's like we face it a lot too, where it's like, you know, I think even us going back to IGN, it's like we knew how much power we had with IGN of like being able to say, well, fuck it. We're not going to do this if blah, blah, blah. And it's just like I'd say that we didn't do it for the most part, but we did some things that were a little bit uncouth, I would say, in terms of using our power to like push back on them. And I
PR people?
No, IGN. Like against IGN specifically.
When we left. Okay.
Yeah. Which I think would have caused a bit more of a divide than necessary.
Granted, I see what you're talking about. Okay,
both sides had their own things going into it, whatever, and everyone's fine now. But it's like
we went through a breakup.
We went through a breakup, yeah. But I feel like breakups are scary when only one side is talking, even years later. And that's why Troy talking to these meet and greets, if we were to be talking about, this happens often, actually. It's like we'll be at a meet and greet talking to people and they're asking how IGN is or was or whatever. And I start talking, and about a minute into talking, I'm like, whoa, I'm being way too negative about this. Like, I actually had a great experience, but like the questions you're asking me are eliciting responses that make it sound way worse than it actually was, right?
Yeah,
but
that, I see what you're saying.
We have the power because of saying that, then tarnishes the name of IGN.
Gotcha.
And I feel like these situations cause that too. And all of a sudden, then it's like this weird power dynamic where it then goes to characters, right? It's like, did the game make you or did you make the game? Did IGN make Greg Miller or did Greg Miller make IGN?
Mm-hmm.
And that's an impossible thing to really kind of...
No, Greg Miller made IGN. It's easy. I just answered it.
That's a hard thing to quantify directly, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, cool. He was Claptrap. Claptrap, iconic voice in Borderlands. If he was just some random character, no one would care.
Yeah.
Now that he was that character, though, he feels like he deserves to be fairly compensated for that character. But at what point
did that character become that character?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm saying a lot of shit right here, but like, I feel like there's something there.
Even in the, I think even what you're saying applies to what you're talking about with Troy, right? Where the negativity, the end all be all of this, right? And even bringing in Chad's question is the fact that, and granted, you know, for full disclosure, we're working on the Borderlands show and stuff like that. Gearbox did nothing wrong. They decided that their production is going to be a non-union production. That's not illegal. That's not a thing. You know what I mean? Like, the messaging around all this where it's like, Troy didn't want the role. No, I wanted the role. Like, that's all fucked, obviously. That's totally stupid. But, like, to this point, like, they don't want to deal with union bullshit, and they don't legally have to. I'm not saying that's right or wrong. I guess I'm saying it's not wrong. I mean, it's morally, though, what it is or what you come down on how you want it to be. Obviously, as a Borderlands fan, as a Tales from the Borderlands fan, it fucking sucks that Troy's not in the game. When Reese pops up and starts talking, no matter how good that guy was, you're like, that's not Troy. That doesn't sound anything like Troy. Every time Reese opens your mouth, you're like, it's not Reese. It's not Reese. It's not the Reese I know.
Mm-hmm.
There's one good joke about it where they do some stuff and he's like, how's everything? Is the voice okay? Like, they're making a meta joke about it. That's about it in terms of what goes on with that character and stuff. It sucks that this didn't work, but it is, like you're saying, I think, one of the growing pains. Especially for Gearbox, a company that is so siloed off in Plano, Texas, is heads down working on games, and they come up and this is the world they're in. Like, what do they want to do with that? Personally, like, I think, you know, the game would benefit from, hey, let's get in all these people. Let's bring in Troy. Let's bring in Laura. Like, right? Like, where is Fiona in the game? We talk about it in the Borderlands show with Paul for 2 seconds, but like, you've made a universe, you've made all these characters, I'd like to see it work, but it comes back down to then dollars and cents of, well, how much more does that cost, and what does that mean with SAG, and how much do they want to spend? And again, is that right or wrong? That's for everybody to debate and decide. And Gearbox said, they're not worth it, that's not worth it. This isn't worth the trouble of going through and doing the union thing. I do think that they are, and kindoffunny.com/you're wrong, if there's some statistic out there I don't know about, I do think that's an outlier. I do think that's an outlying opinion in terms of a AAA thing. Indie development, something like that, totally different. But even then, when we start talking about that, how many indie devs have we seen that have Troy or Nolan or whoever in a game? Like, Freedom Finger's out right now and has a whole bunch of different names. Now, granted, a lot of big names in there,
And I'm sure that a lot of them are the kind of like, hey, don't tell anybody, or like, be cool, like, just fly under the radar with this. And I'm sure there's a lot of slaps on the wrist happening, like, that they're doing shit. Again, not abusing power seems like too much, but like, that's what it is. It's kind of like, at the end of the day, Troy Baker can just say, I'm Troy Baker, bitch, and like, fucking kind of do whatever he wants. But there is a limit to that where it's like you can't get a giant Borderlands role for that. But
that's where it breaks me up, is like, I'd love to know, how does Ashley do it then, right? Because Ashley Birch is SAG, right? Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong if anybody knows that other than me. But I mean, like, she's Aloy in Horizon, right? Like, she's in Life is Strange as Chloe. Like, she's a main character. She is one of the cream of the crop voice actors happening right now. And I wonder if, you know, I saw one of the complaints for Borderlands 3 is that Tina's character is in it for so little. Sorry, by the way, I never gave you a spoiler warning if you were playing and you were waiting for Tina to pop up, but it's not that big of a deal. You know what I mean? I was more worried about her being revoiced than not popping in the game. But, like, she's not in the game that much, so was it
maybe that's it?
Amount of dialogue? But then even that, I don't even think... I guess Reese is in it for a pretty hefty chapter, but, like, I don't know. There's a lot of weird stuff going on that I'd love to get clear answers on. We'll see. But, as I've said before, and you can all take it or leave it and do whatever with a grain of salt, the cool thing about doing the Borderlands show is that they said you can be yourselves and say whatever you want and do whatever you want. So when inevitably Randy comes through here, I'm going to have a lot of hard questions about a lot of different things, but this will get added to the list.
Yeah.
Like, how does this work and why do you do it that way? I digress. Number two on the Roper Report. Bungie wants a non-Destiny game out by 2025. This is Matt Kim at IGN. The next expansions for Destiny 2, The next expansion, I think is what he means, for Destiny 2, Shadowkeep, is out this week, and IGN was able to speak with Bungie CEO Pete Parsons about the studio and specifically on its plan to become one of the, quote, best entertainment companies in the world by the year 2025.
Whoa.
You like that?
Yeah.
Bold statement. Destiny 2 Shadowkeep marks a turning point for the Destiny franchise. It is the first major expansion Bungie has released following its split with ex-partner Activision. Quote, you think this is going to be a really big stressor, but it's become a really bright, shining spot on our ability to bring products to the marketplace and customers, Parsons tells IGN in an interview. And thanks to that, quote, bright, shining spot, Parsons says that he and Bungie are already working towards some big goals. Our vision ultimately through 2025 is to become one of the world's best entertainment companies, Parsons says. To do that, Parsons says it needs to start with Destiny. Quote, one is we need to begin transforming Destiny. The Destiny that we really believe in, like the thing we think Destiny needs to become. I think you've seen it in the vid doc, like the single evolving world. We needed to focus on that, end quote. Parsons told IGN that this is all something Bungie wants to accomplish by 2025, and that there is a pretty specific path for the company. So by 2025, we have a pretty specific path to make sure we transform Destiny and that we have other franchises within the marketplace. The latter is the other part of Bungie's goal to become a greater entertainment company. Quote, we need to build our publishing group, but part of our vision is also to become a multi-franchise entertainment company, end quote.
I love all of this. Yeah. I feel like with what Bungie's doing, especially post-Activision, is kind of pitch perfect. Like, all of the decisions they've made so far, the Google Stadia stuff, talking about how they're just kind of trying their best to do multi-platform, cross-play, all that stuff. I think that's the right thing to do when you have a game like Destiny where it is all about the platform of the game, right? Yeah. Committing to that vision and going forward. All this talk of, like, we know what it needs to be and we're going to make it that thing. That gives a lot of confidence to fans, to people that are like, oh, if we know what it is and you're saying you know what it is, they should believe them, because that means it wasn't the thing that it was, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Under Activision. And them talking about a new franchise as well, that's exciting to me. I doubt it's going to be anything as big as
you'd think they'd want Destiny. Something small, right?
Yeah,
that's usually the palate cleanser you do if you're gonna have an ongoing, ever evolving game. The next one you do would be something smaller,
and that excites me, because to me that kind of reads like small narrative, single player, like something a Hellblade type situation.
Okay,
and my God, I would kill for a Bungie narrative game. It's been way too long since we got one of those in Halo,
yeah,
right?
No, I know.
And
I
love
exactly
the Halo campaign so much. And it's like, if we were to get that in 2025, not even 2019, like imagining what that could be.
Yeah.
That's so exciting to me. And on top of Destiny continuing to grow, I think that we're about to face such a pivotal moment in games and how they change, where I don't think every game's going to be all that in the kitchen sink. Last of
you
Us
think
2,
we're start, like,
no multiplayer
in?
Mode, yeah. Right? I think that's a good call. I understand that it sounds like less value to people and whatever. I did not play Last of Us multiplayer. I played Last of Us. I didn't need that in the game at all. If that was a separate game, cool. Put all your resources into what the game is. Make a different game for what that game could be, right?
Yeah.
And I firmly stand by that. I think that that's going to be better for the industry overall, especially when we're moving towards a Game Pass future where games are going to be cheaper to the end user if you want to commit to that path, right? So I think this could be really, really interesting if Destiny is the kind of more massively multiplayer, or not massively, but you know what I mean.
Like, I know.
Always
I know.
On
and
multiplayer.
No, they do
games
call it. They have moved to calling it MMO openly, so you're fine. You're
then
fine
great.
With that.
Then that type of multiplayer game. But then it would be awesome to see them also have a single-player thing that is a separate project. Could be in the
do
world of
Destiny.
Do you
think it'll actually happen, though?
By 2025, yeah.
Because my thing is, like, I, you know, we just had Luke Smith on. Obviously, we have cool friends, youtube.com/kindoffunny. And listening to him talk about this and talk about what Destiny's become and how all-encompassing it is over there. Granted, right now, they are all hands on deck, right? Mm-hmm. They finally have control of the ship. They get to do everything else. Shadowkeep dropping tomorrow. Like, there's a lot going on right now. I just feel like that's in so many ways intoxicating that I think even if they have the best laid plans that, all right, 2021 will really ramp up pre-production or start going on an alpha, you know, whatever mm-hmm. they're working on, that I could easily see it either being Destiny has become so successful based on this thing that we want to keep putting out cool content there and we're finally capitalizing our ideas, or it hasn't worked and we're rebooting something else similar to what happened this time around getting to Shadowkeep, right? Like, I feel there's so many different things that could go, like, with an always online, ever-evolving, never-done mm-hmm. video game, I feel like that's just such a can of worms that it could easily push dreams back and back and back.
Yeah, it definitely could. And, I mean, we're talking 6 years,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
I mean, we're all at the end
basically
of this year.
Five,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, basically 5 years. That's still a lot of time, right? In game development time, it's not that much, but, like, it's still a lot. They wouldn't be saying this if they didn't have ideas. Right.
Yeah.
This sounds like they really have a plan. And to me, the plan reads that they are making all the changes that they can to the current Destiny situation, trying to like pick up the pieces that Activision let fall, right?
Yeah.
And go with Shadowkeep, kind of get the player base back with all the new initiatives that they have. There's going to be another Destiny. You got to imagine, right?
Yeah.
They're going to come out with like whatever they end up calling it. I imagine that the next Destiny is really going to be when they're like, now that we have full control over everything, it's like, this is going to be the platform going forward that they just keep adding to.
You don't think they would do that with Destiny 2 right now? Because here's my thing.
Potentially.
Because I feel like right now, you know, with the release of Shadowkeep, right, the free-to-play version drops tomorrow too.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like over time, you're going to see that Destiny 2 kind of drift away.
Yeah.
And it just becomes that. It's Shadowkeep. It's this thing. It becomes WoW, right, of the next big expansion.
I think that that's where they're at right now.
Yeah.
I feel like in order to really, like, turn the other page is you need to
turn the page
to, like, get rid of that and have a new, fresh starting point for new people. Because I feel like a ton of new people are going to play Shadowkeep just because they're like, oh, I've heard good things about it. More people would just play the new Destiny.
Sure.
Right?
Fair.
And it's just
But
like,
you could always do that. I mean, they can all, like, that.
It's just a name.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's all that it is. It could be still the same thing, but, like, just, it's all marketing, it's hype,
yep,
and it's,
yep,
you know,
yep.
But it's also a polished product. And I think that that's the side that luckily and happily, I think that they're going to have no matter what. So it is just kind of the marketing around it to, like, make people understand, like, this is Destiny. This is something to be excited about, again, if you have fallen off. It's something excited about if you weren't excited before, but it's like, now this is what we want it to be, and it's going to be a great experience. And I just feel like 5 years, they're going to nail this. Like, I really am confident in them. Like, I feel like with
I hope what they've so. Had the I'm last, not trying to take away from it. Obviously.
What they've had the last couple of years, it's like, it was always an almost, but it was good almost. It was it's not an Anthem situation. It was always like they kind of missed the mark here, or they kind of missed the mark here. This is really fun. This takes too long, whatever. But it's like, those are all things that can be tweaked. And I think that they are tweaking right now. It sounds like they know what they need to tweak. Give it a couple years. Let that happen. I'm sure they're working on another project just in its infancy right now.
Yeah.
But 2025, yeah.
Okay. Speaking of all this, Steve Watts at GameSpot had this addition. The release of Destiny 2's new Shadowkeep expansion is imminent. In preparation for the release, Bungie is taking down the game and its predecessor entirely for server maintenance to roll out the update that will usher in Shadowkeep. Bungie tweeted a note regarding the outage, saying that both Destiny and Destiny 2 servers will be offline starting at 9:45 a.m. Pacific time, so it's already done, until October 1st at 10 a.m. Pacific. At that point, update 2.6.0.1 will become available, and both Shadowkeep and the free-to-play New Light version will be available. You finally jumping in, Tim?
Nah.
I'm going to download it tonight. Get ready. Yeah, I mean, I'll have to get the update. But
keep them shadows, baby.
It's that thing of coming off Borderlands now is my time there starting to wind down. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, man, I can really go. I've enjoyed this shooting things with people.
Yeah.
Is there other, I can continue to shoot
can
things
in space. Can I continue
to
shoot things
Let me go
people?
In space. Let's pick up. Where do we leave Taylor Swift? What are her shaders look like? I'm sure Fran and Andrea will be happy to drag me around. Number three on the Roper Report, Gears 5 microtransactions are being addressed online. This is Eddie at GameSpot. Microsoft's newest big-time exclusive, Gears 5, released in September, and it enjoyed a record-breaking release. However, not everyone is happy with the game, with some voicing concerns over its microtransactions and in-game economy. Now the head of the Gears 5 studio, the Coalition, has responded. Responding to someone who voiced concerns about the prices of items and the grinding it takes to earn them without spending money, Rod Ferguson said the in-game economy is a work in progress. Ferguson pointed out that Gears 5 has a completely different economy compared to Gears of War 4 because the new game gives away its DLC maps and more for free. Quote, we're learning as we go, he said. This is a completely different economy from Gears 4, removed gear packs, so it will take... So it will take a little time to work through any issues. Our first attempt is not our last, and we will continue to evolve until we get it right. In another tweet, Ferguson said Gears 5 offers way more free content than Gears of War 4, and the developer is planning to release even more free extra content down the road. Some of the upcoming free DLC will include more maps. You know, I had a weird printout today. I've never had this. Where look, it printed way low, and then... two blank pages.
Uh-oh.
And I thought it picked up fine, but it didn't. So hold on. Here we go.
More maps, characters and skins.
I'm there. I said I got it. Yeah, I prepped for this, big guy. We're learning and improving as we go. There's no magic wand here. Even small changes take time to create content and design skills in Ultimates, Ferguson said in yet another tweet. Gears 5 in-game virtual currency is called iron, and players can buy it in various allotments with corresponding prices. The iron can be spent on things like XP boost for 1 to 30 days, world flags for player cards, weapon skins, emote marks, executions, and more. Gears 5 adopts a Fortnite-style rotating system whereby certain items are only available for a limited time, which in turn encourages players to buy the content before it leaves the store. Did any of this affect you when you played Gears 5 and loved it?
No, because I just played the campaign.
Hell yeah, you did.
Yeah.
Of course you did.
Exactly. Again, this goes back to what I was saying earlier. It's like everything is changing, and it's like there's going to be a lot of growing pains, and yep. I don't know that we're ever going to hit a point where everyone's happy. In fact, I know we're going to never hit a point that everyone's happy.
Yeah.
Any time that I've played video games my entire life, people have been upset about pricing somehow.
Yeah.
Something caused some issue. And there was always the question of, like, is a Nintendo game worth the same as a PlayStation game? Like,
yeah.
Like, look at the Wii, right? It's like, why are we paying the same dollars for HD versus non-HD?
Sure.
Look forward to the Switch. Look forward to everything. And just where we're at. Add all microtransactions. Add how games have changed being delivered, how cheap they can be, how expensive they can be. All the different things, right? That is a complicated system that needs to check and balance itself. And I feel like there's not one thing you can apply to everything to make it all work, right?
Yeah.
With this gear stuff, it's like this is the effects of Game Pass, right? This is the effects of people that are no longer spending that $60 to get the game. We're seeing the stats come out where it's like they're not talking about sales of gears. They're talking about players installs, and installs and all that.
Yeah,
and it's like I think that that's a good thing for the industry, but it also is going to cause a lot more of these types of situations. On the mobile side, we talked about this on Gamescast a couple weeks ago when Apple Arcade came out and you were really excited about Grindstone.
Still am.
And we kind of got in the weeds a bit because I don't think Fran was understanding the point that I was making. But that game can only exist as it is because of Apple Arcade. If Apple Arcade were not the case, and that was just a free-to-play or even a $3.99 game, which it would have been, it would be chock full of gotcha shit and microtransactions. Even if it wasn't aggressive and horrible, they'd be there.
Sure,
right?
Because you got to make money.
But instead, Apple Arcade allows it to be funded, allows all these like different ways for money to come in. We're seeing this on every different level, and I think that everyone's going to have to kind of borrow and adapt from the different ecosystems until they figure out what works for most games. And then on top of that, other games need to be looked at on a case-by-case basis of, like, does this make sense for Gears?
Yeah. I think, you know, back to our old the conversation we had earlier about Gearbox, right, of, like, their studio out of time. I think it's easy, again, for us and you, listener, viewer, who do this every day with us and read every news story and do all this different stuff and see people constantly step on the rakes in front of their house and hit themselves in the face. When you get to a studio that's launching their first game in X amount of years, right, not to mention with a brand new way they're doing everything, it is learning on the job, and there is no real way to sit there and what Gears 5 has been out nearly a month. Like sit there and like imagine how that ecosystem is going to evolve, what it's going to be like, how people aren't earning currency, because you do tests and stuff like that. But even then, you're tweaking things and thinking you find the right value to get here. Mm-hmm. And again, I think Rod's doing the right thing of coming out and addressing it head on.
Yeah.
Like, hey, yeah, we're working on all this. This isn't, we don't know. I love it. There's no magic wand here. It's us making a game for you. If this isn't working, we will address it. We will look into it. We're trying to figure out the balancing on all that.
Yeah, totally. Again, we always talk about it. Transparency, communication. Yeah. It's all important. And I think that they'll figure it out. And playing Gears, it's such a fantastic value for what the game is. Granted, didn't play the multiplayer. But from everyone on my Twitter feed, it seems to be that they're enjoying it a lot.
Yeah.
So this stuff's going to affect a group of people a lot, and it's going to not affect the majority of people. That doesn't mean that it doesn't need to be addressed. They're addressing it. This seems like the best case scenario, right?
Yeah.
We've seen the worst case scenario happen in the last couple years, multiple times, over and over and over. So if we're at least moving towards this future, that's a good sign.
Yeah, 100%. How long is the campaign of Gears 5?
It's a normal campaign, 9, 10.
Trying to figure it out. Would it make sense for us all to play through it on Extra Life? I want to play through it, but I think...
Yeah, it's fun. I don't know that it's a great stream game, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's like, there's a lot of slower moments.
Okay.
Surprisingly.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll do it on my own then, or well, I'll team up with somebody. Number four, a new Brain Age for Switch is coming to Japan. This is Brian Ashcraft over at Kotaku. In 2005, Brain Age first went on sale in Japan for the Nintendo DS. The game, which had players solve math problems and more to judge the age of their brain, became a national sensation in Japan. Brain Age was one reason why the DS became a must-have handheld. Now, in 2019, it's back. The new Brain Age allows Switch owners to track progress through their mobile phones, including the progress of family and friends. The latest entry in the for the Nintendo Switch, I should say, is slated for release on December 27th in Japan. There's no word yet of an international release. You can bet your bottom dollar that's coming internationally.
Oh, yeah. Definitely,
it's gonna
clean
up.
Totally. Like,
Brain
yeah.
Age is awesome.
Brain Age is something I never got into.
What?
Yeah, I was late.
You were a kid, though.
I was late on. I mean, no.
You were a child.
I was in high school. I didn't have a DS for a long time. Alfredo had the DS. I had the PSP.
Sure.
We had to make that decision.
Pro move.
There we go.
Pro move.
Marcus, never forget.
Yeah. Get your game on.
But we would trade the systems back and forth when there was games we wanted to play. We're talking the original DS.
Yeah,
I mean,
oh,
Jesus
yeah.
Christ.
Clunky
what a
ass bastard.
Monstrosity
there.
But yeah, Brain Age was just something that I never really got into, but everyone around me did. And Brain Age was definitely one of those crossover games.
Oh, yeah.
That, my friend Missy, she would play it. She's not a gamer.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? But she, like, got a DS to play this.
After I got, maybe that's before, actually. No, I think it's before. When I bought Mom the Wii or whatever, eventually she, on her own, bought a DS, and it was Brain Age and some horse game.
Mm-hmm.
And she couldn't figure out how to feed the horse.
Yeah.
And the horse, like, it wouldn't die. It wasn't that, like, intense, but it was definitely, you'd fail.
Yeah.
And I was like, whatever, Mom, give me this. I came to visit, I'll feed this horse for you. Could not figure out how to feed this fucking horse.
Shit.
I was like, what an obtuse garbage game.
Yeah.
This stupid-ass shovelware
game. Get some
game.
Cookie, Mama.
Exactly. Number five on the Roper Report, the Atari VCS is teaming up with Ant Stream Arcade. Now, maybe you're like me and you vaguely remember what the Atari VCS is. I was like, I remember Atari's putting out its own console. We all laughed about it. And then it was like, is it out? It's not out yet. But here from the official site is how they're describing the Atari VCS. Play. Discover new and classic games on Atari's new open platform powered by AMD Ryzen with Radeon graphics technology. Stream. Watch your favorite web-based streaming videos and entertainment and play games at up to 4K resolution and 60 frames per second. Create. Develop new TV-based games and apps for yourself, your family, or to share with the Atari VCS community. Connect. Atari's first connected device opens new possibilities to play with friends and publish your creations as part of an expansive community of gamers, fans, and devs. Reading from the article, of course, it's coming out March 2020. Pricing starts at $249.99 for the 4 GB
Jiminy
version.
Jiminy crickets.
$389.99 for one of the three Atari VCS 800 that has 8 GB all-in system bundle. Includes the joystick, sold separately for $50. The motion controller, sold separately for $60, which were created in partnership with PowerA. Atari will announce international presale dates soon. You remember this?
I do remember sold separately?
No, that... I was giving you the bundle. The all-in 8 GB bundle is $389.99.
Ah!
That gets everything I just listed, but then a separate, yeah, the joystick separately, $50. The modern controller, $60.
Modern controller, Kevin, bring that thing up. Look at that.
That's modern to
D-pad.
Me.
D-pad. Look at that. No.
You got the A, you got the B, you got
you
the
do.
X and Y.
You do.
You're all set.
Yeah, I don't know, man. This seems like...
This isn't even the news. This has already been known. The news is that they're teaming up with Ant Stream Arcade. The exclusive Atari VCS edition of Ant Stream Arcade unlocks an instantly accessible collection of classic video game titles. In addition to an existing library of over 2,000 officially licensed games, which I'm sure are all fantastic. The exclusive Ant Stream Arcade Atari VCS app will include the largest collection of Atari games available on demand in both original and enhanced edition formats, curated from across the brand's many arcade, home, and handheld platforms. Accessible from the Atari VCS system dashboard at launch, the Ant Stream Arcade app for the Atari VCS offers a 30-day free trial with subscription options available for $10 a month or $8 a month, a total of $95.88 for a yearly subscription.
What the fuck?
Ant Stream Arcade on the Atari VCS will exclusively offer 50 classic Atari titles at launch, for new and existing AntStream Arcade users to enjoy whenever they sign on from their Atari VCS system, with additional games added on a steady basis. AntStream Arcade titles will be compatible with the Atari VCS Classic Joystick and the Atari VCS Modern Controller, including rumble and LED lighting effects. Enhanced game modes, you know, functionality, they got some multiplayer in there, where popular Atari titles appearing via the Atari VCS edition of AntStream Arcade includes standalone retro classics from Adventure, Night Driver, Pong, Tempest 2000, and Yara's Revenge, and full Atari compilations from PlayStation, Xbox, and PC platforms. How you doing over there?
$10 a month?
Yeah, man. For all the for the classic games you'd always want. 2000. Yeah,
exactly. And okay, and full Atari compilations from PlayStation, Xbox, and PC platforms that are $5 at GameStop if you were to go there and pick one up. From any of the bins.
But I don't know if you...
At any moment
I don't know if you
time.
Read this. This, you can connect. Atari's first connected device opens new possibilities to play with friends and publish your creations. It's part of expansion.
Dude, jack of all trades, master of none. This sounds like such a targeted assault on Jared Petty.
It does, yes. They want Jared Petty's credit
They're
card.
They're like, we need to make at least, what was the bundle, $390? Yeah. They're like, all right, we got one. We got one. But even, I think, like, that Jared would be upset about this. This just seems like such a... Like, and maybe there's something I'm missing, but I don't think there is, Greg. This seems like such a, the top brass at some company are like, here's what's hot right now, this NES classic. We got to get, what rights can we get? Atari? Let's jump on that.
See, it's so weird, right? And this is what's been weird about it from the launch, is that it's not even that. If it was the Atari Classic, you'd be like, all right, that makes sense. It's like, no, Atari made it clear, like, we are making a set-top box. Mm-hmm. We are making something for your entertainment system that does streaming in 4K and 60, and it's like, what? This is the definition of too much. You're clearly going to be on live. Can't you see this? Like, can't you see that this will not succeed? And I wish you the best. I'm just telling you what I see. Number six and final on the Roper Report.
$10 a month.
Hideo Kojima's BB can talk to you through your PS4 controller. Kojima tweeted out an image of the Death Stranding controller with this. By setting, you'll be able to have BB's voice coming out of this BB-ish controller.
Gotta fucking love it, dude. Gotta goddamn love it.
Now, of course, you have the speaker on your DualShock 4, so you assume when you play Death Stranding, there'll be a setting in there to have the BB talk to you, go like that and shit.
I can't wait for November 9th.
Yeah.
2019. Yeah. I mean, Kojima's just sitting in his office laughing to himself. He's just going to stand there walking all smug, close the door, sit down at his desk, and just start laughing.
Talk to me about this. Give me a Tim Gettys prediction.
Yeah.
Is this going to be... What Metacritic here? What, dude, is this going to be a masterpiece?
I don't fucking know. This game, more than any game in history,
yeah,
I think is unpredictable.
This is fucking art, all right? And that, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what that equates to on Metacritic, but this is fucking art.
And it's going to be so interesting because I think that when you look at the history, especially in recent years, of user score versus critic score, those are going to be very different with this. But I don't know which side is going to be what for this one. Yeah. Like, critics are, I think... We're going to get a lot of really, really high scores, and we're going to get some people that are like...
I don't get it. This sucks.
Yeah. I feel like this game is going to get reviewed unfairly by so many people because they're going in with their own bias one way or another.
Sure.
And that's not saying that like it's only the people that are going to shit on it. It's also the people that are going to praise it just because it's weird.
Sure.
You know? I think it's going to be very difficult to speak about this game without taking in all of the things that we've had to take in the last couple of years.
I can't wait. This is such a fun ride.
I love that I don't need to put a number on this game.
Yeah, right.
You know what
I mean?
I feel like that would be such a hard task, and you're going to get shit from everybody no matter what.
Yeah.
But yeah, what's it get on Metacritic? I don't know, man. I really don't.
I can't wait.
I can tell you what it's not going to get.
What's that?
I don't think it's going to get an 8.
Okay.
Like, I really think it's going to be...
We're talking tens or fives.
It's going to be the 9-10 or six. The 6.
Like, Death Stranding is a game that works, but it's boring to walk across the field.
Yeah.
Hideo Kojima's own hubris gets in the way of this. Mm-hmm. At which point, I will immediately go to the comments and be like, don't talk about God that way.
Yeah.
Tim, I'm excited to see how Death Stranding nets out, but it's still so far away. If I wanted something more immediate, like, say, what came to the mom and pop shops today, where would I go?
If it's the list of all software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show each and every weekday.
Yeah.
I had that coffee mouth. You know what I mean?
I hate that coffee mouth. You see me screw with it all the time. While we're here, Let's get some reader mail in here. Of course, no, that's not right. Dang. I'm going to put the ads in here, but I was trying to do the only transition. It's time to talk about our sponsors, everybody. First up, it's Quip. Did you know that nearly everyone at Kinda Funny uses a Quip toothbrush? As you've probably heard one of our shows before, I bet you did. But what actually makes a better toothbrush? Industrial strength power, claims of miraculous trendy ingredients, multiple modes? If you ask your dentist, they'll tell you it's less about the brush and more about how you use it. That's why Quip was created by dentists and product designers to focus on what actually matters to your oral health, healthier habits. Quip's sensitive vibrations with built-in 2-minute timers guide gentle brushing for the dentist recommended 2 minutes with 30-second pulses, ensuring an even clean. Quip automatically delivers brush heads to your door every 3 months for clean new bristles right on schedule. The sleek, intuitive design is simple to use and comes with a travel cap that doubles as a mirror mount. These thoughtful features make brushing something you actually want to do twice every day. Good habits matter to live a healthier life, so help form fresh oral health habits with Quip. Quip starts at just $25, and you'll get your first refill pack free at getquip.com/games. This is a simple way to support our show and start brushing your teeth better. But you have to go to getquip.com/games to get your first refill free. Right now, go to getquip.com/games.
Quick Quip story here. Yesterday, I was at Target with my brother, and we're walking around, and we were in the oral health section.
Yeah.
And we look over, huge section dedicated to Quip.
Right.
Cool. He goes, hey, this is the thing you guys are always talking about. I'm like, yeah, it is. And he goes, man, I really want to get one. How much are they? And he looks, he's like, $25. He was shocked because he thought it was going
to
be way more.
Does he not listen to these ads?
I know.
He
didn't
buy it,
though,
did he? I'm like, cool,
Greg. Come on. No. I was like, yeah, Quip. Okay. Getquip.com/kindoffunny.
Games.
But then
/games.
/games. Yes. Kind of funny games. /games. They have all the different colors. And I'm like, wow, there's so many colors I didn't even know about. These are pretty things, man. So if you want to go see them, go to Target, look at them,
decide which one
you want, but then go to getquip.com/games.
Then if you need a bra, go to Third Love. Almost all the Kinda Honeys are wearing Third Love bras, and with their tagless options, half cup sizes, and amazing customer service, it is easy to see why. Third Love uses data points generated by millions of women who have taken their Fit Finder quiz to design bras with breast size and shape in mind for a perfect fit and premium feel. Third Love offers more than 80 sizes, including their signature half cup sizes. Skip the trip. You can find your fit with Third Love's online fit finder, order, and try on at home. No more awkward fitting room experiences. Every customer has 60 days to wear it, wash it, and put it to the test. And if they don't love it, return it, and Third Love will wash it and donate it to a woman in need. Third Love's team of expert fit stylists are dedicated to helping you find your perfect fit. Fit stylists are available every day to help via text, chat, or phone. Returns and exchanges are free and easy thanks to their quality staff. This is hands down the most comfortable bra you'll ever own. These straps won't slip, and there's no tags, so there's no itching. Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone, so right now they're offering my listeners 15% off your first order. Go to thirdlove.com/games now to find your perfect fitting bra. Get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/games for 15% off today. Out today. Chop is Dish on Switch. Blockoid on PC. Fallen Empires on PC and Mac. Nobody's on PC and Mac. Duck in Town, A Rising Night, PC and Mac. Balloon Fighter on PC. Cube World on PC. 10 Days to War on PC. Spaceland on PC. The Lost PC. Then Roman Rumble in Las Vegas is out today on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Nintendo Switch. And Marvel Knights. No, sorry. Marvel Knights come to Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3. This is already out today. These are new playable characters. It's, of course, we talked about this. You knew this was coming. It's, shoot, I don't have it written down. Don't tell me. It's Blade. It's Morbius, it's Punisher, and it's Moon Knight.
Yes, it is.
But on top of all those characters, there is a new mode, the Gauntlet, in there, and there's a bunch of new costumes for different characters in there. There's this new thing. I'm very excited. I'm going on the road 2 weeks from now for a vacation, and I was like, oh, I'll play Untitled Goose Game. Oh, man, that's when I'll play Zelda. Oh, that's when I'll start Astral Chain. Oh, man. And then I was like, oh, well, they got all this new Ultimate Alliance DLC. Clearly,
yeah,
I'm
just gonna play the Curse of the Vampire.
Exactly. New dates for you. We've talked a lot about the Switch Fix. You remember this guy?
Yeah.
It's been renamed. It's now Fixture S1. It just went live on Indiegogo. So if you look for Fixture S1, who would have thunk maybe putting the title of a Nintendo product? Anyways, if you like that thing, it's the mount you put on your controller. It's made by a kind of funny best friend. You put your Switch in it.
It's awesome. It's what I use. I love it. Use it all the time.
And this one's actually been updated too, because now you can charge while you have it in there, which we can't do with ours. Arise is a game we saw a little bit at that State of Play. It turns out it's coming to PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Epic Game Store now on December 3rd, 2019. Beast Quest will release tomorrow on Nintendo Switch. And then Minecraft Earth is going into early access in October. Kotaku reports Android users can start pre-registering for the Minecraft Earth today, ahead of the early access release in October. Only some countries will initially have access to the game in October, but by the end of the year, Mojang plans to make Minecraft Earth available globally on both iOS and Android. Tim, it's time for Reader Mail.
Read me
up. Of course, you can write in to patreon.com/kindafunnygames with your questions, concerns, everything else. We'll read here. Just like BJ Bernardo did. Hi, y'all. Minecraft Earth is getting early access in October. Do you see those not into Minecraft downloading this more interactive version? Or is this just a game for people who enjoyed the regular Minecraft? Will this increase the visibility of the brand of Minecraft like Pokemon Go did for the brand Pokemon?
No. This is a weird one. And I've always been kind of fascinated by the insistence on copying Pokemon Go. We've seen multiple people do it at this point. Yeah. And it's like...
Niantic copied themselves with the Wizarding World.
Yeah, there was that. And then there's, you know, obviously Ghostbusters World and other things of that.
Garfield, I think, has some kind of weird one.
Right? Yeah, Garfield does have one. It's like... It's a cool idea. I just feel like that's the type of thing that you really need to nail because it's kind of an ambitious project.
Sure. Do you put this in the exact same group, though? Because the games we just mentioned, and I should just say I haven't played Garfield, but Ghostbusters World and Wizarding World, right, are straight-up knockoffs of Pokemon.
Yeah.
Exact same thing. Minecraft Earth is different, right? It is building your creation out there.
Yeah,
everybody's
Minecraft
sharing
Earth
and doing
is,
stuff.
It's weird where it's like it kind of to me feels like the fruits of Holodeck.
Okay, yeah.
Was that what it was?
HoloLens.
HoloLens. Where they're kind of like, here's this tech thing that we're working on, but they didn't really ever figure out what they wanted to do with it. Because I remember when they first showed that at E3, I got to do the behind closed doors demo of it, and it was kind of the Minecraft, like build it in front of you type stuff. And I think that this is kind of the realization of that many years later. And it just kind of seems like a tech project. It doesn't seem like something that I think is going to really latch on, especially with the Minecraft audience. Minecraft, play Minecraft.
Yeah.
They don't really need other things. Like,
I don't... It will not be as successful as Pokemon Go. I think it has the chance to open it up to some new people, but it's not going to be a breakout runaway success, I think, getting there. I'm going to download it and screw around with it. If, like, you know, we have a school across the way, if a lot of kids are building cool shit in the neighborhood and I'm walking to work or, you know, I'll fuck around with it. Maybe. For a little bit. And see what it's all about.
Can you break things? I really hope you can't break things.
Because that's all I do.
You're just going to destroy these kids' dreams and towers. Right?
Yeah, exactly. That's a great point. I don't see it being a takeoff. I don't think it's going to... It would be... I think it's more if you lapsed on Minecraft but still want something to do on your phone. That's what it strikes me as. Because otherwise, yeah, you just go play Minecraft. Right?
But, I mean, you have Minecraft on your phone.
But my thing is, I think this is going to be less involved than a game of Minecraft. Mm. So if it is, you just want to work on whatever tree tower you're making out there, whatever the hell's going on.
Breaking these kids' tower of dreams.
I'm going to freaking destroy these kids. Let's see. I'm looking through for a good question.
Good meal.
We'll go with King. King writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, first time sending in a question for KFGD, an excited new patron. Thank you very much for taking the chance on us, King. On Wednesday's show, while talking about Sony locking down one of the modes in Call of Duty Modern Warfare, the sentiment seemed to be, yeah, it sucks, but that's just how it is. Greg, you always preach be better, which is awesome motto, which is an awesome motto, by the way. Well, why shouldn't we want Sony to be better? Since Phil Spencer has taken over Xbox, he has been on record stating that he doesn't want to exclude gamers from a gun mission, etc., and that it's bad for gamers and bad for games in general. To his credit, Xbox has not had any exclusive content in their marketing deal since that time. I believe this has hurt Xbox and their bottom line, but he has kept his word. Why shouldn't we hold PlayStation to the same standard? This is an anti-consumer practice, and if you look at Reddit, among other places, even a lot of PlayStation-only gamers are upset. I hope that we, as gamers, can make a stand and let Sony and Activision know this isn't okay. Are you up to date on this?
I am up to date on this.
Spec Ops, of course, locking off one of the parts of Spec Ops only for PlayStation players.
And I understand why people are upset.
Yeah.
I don't agree. But that's
with them being upset?
No, they can be upset. I'm not upset. I understand what's going on. It is definitely annoying, but it's also business, and Sony's trying to win. These are the type of things that will cause people to play it there instead of Xbox, where we're at right now. That's not a good thing, and I know that like that is bad to have the corporations have all this power and sway and stuff, but like that's what this is. They are trying to have something that Xbox doesn't have. Phil Spencer saying all that stuff, fantastic. That is definitely the world that I'd rather live in when it comes to video games, of everything playing nice and working together. However, that's just not the realities of where we're at or where I think that we're going to be. And it's also easier for him to say when Xbox isn't number one, putting out a bunch of titles right now.
And this is a conversation we had on Wednesday's show about it, me and Blessing, where it was, if it wasn't Phil saying it, and it was second place saying, you'd be like, all right, well, of course you're saying that because that's who you are, right? But Phil and Xbox have done so many pro-gamer things. Now, again, I think they're so pro-gamer because they're trying to make giant moves to make up for the fact they're so far behind this generation and build that goodwill.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting that Sony doesn't really have a Phil Spencer right now. Like, they don't have somebody that they're leaning on as a voice, and we've critiqued them many times in the last 2 years for doing that.
Yeah, they've definitely siloed off and become the PlayStation of old.
Yes, like taking away the focus of personalities and people that you can like kind of latch onto as voices to represent these choices. And I do definitely think that that's a problem. It makes this seem shadier than even shadier than it is. And I understand that it's shady. I get where the issue is, but at the end of the day, it's not an altruistic thing of everybody's trying to play nice.
And that's the thing about it is I wouldn't even go as far as say it's shady. And I know that'll now immediately burn so many people with me of he's a pro corporation or whatever. It's not shady. It's literally the theme of this episode of a move that's out of time. This is how video games were and how PlayStation and Xbox did compete with each other and go back and forth and argue and this, that, and the other. Like, I think you've seen Xbox move their focus to, you know, making exclusive Game Pass deals, right? Getting different games in there, like using that in terms of their exclusivity and throwing it around. This one doesn't ruffle my feathers, but it's because I've been around for so long and I get, and I've just seen it happen. This is what I was raised in terms of it. And like, yeah, I'd love to believe in Phil's future, but if PlayStation doesn't live by that, then what's the point, right? And again, the point of this in being better, right, King, is like, cool, everybody in like, and I'm not even trying to start shit, right? But you bring it up, King, right? That, like, if you look at Reddit, among other places, well, cool. A lot of people on the internet were pissed off at Borderlands, and it sold 5 million copies in 5 fucking days. So are people, if you speak with your wallet and take a fucking photo of your Xbox copy of Call of Duty and send it to them, be like, I bought this on there because you made a deal I don't agree with. Yeah. And when the next generation of consoles comes, buy the Xbox rather than the PlayStation. Be like, I did this because of your anti-consumer moves. Like,
and continuing what you're saying about this being in theme of this whole episode, like what I was talking about earlier about the campaign versus multiplayer being different games, what this says to me is that the spec op mode's not where it's at. This mode is not what this game is. It's just 100%. Another mode. And like, that sucks.
Not to mention that, again, it's not even all of Spec Ops. It's the thing you need from Special Operations is still there in terms of you and a player doing the shit. It's one very specific part of that, like a sub part of it.
Yeah.
So it's
still
like,
though, it's just like, to me, it just lessens the value of that overall, where it's like, okay, Sony, just get this exclusively, get the whole game exclusively if that's what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
This is a tactic out of time where it seems inadvisable, but I understand why they did it.
What, again, is like, it goes back to what we talk about, right? Is it's word salad as well. It's so that when they put up the trailer for Call of Duty during the NBA game and it ends and it goes PlayStation, where the players play, or the best place to play, or whatever the fuck it is, greatness awaits, it'll also say, like, also play the exclusive Spec Ops, whatever mode, which makes the buyer think it's, oh my God, all of Spec Ops is exclusive, when in reality, it's this tiny part of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, again, a thing out of time of appealing to the mass audience of like, how do we get you and like make you come here and buy this thing?
Yeah.
It's advertising. And it is a very clear dividing rod on what PlayStation is and what Xbox is.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like, I know based on this conversation, you might think I'd go the other way, but it's also one of the reasons I keep saying I'm an Xbox fanboy. I want to see them win. I want to see them fucking pull this off. I want to see
those are the right choices.
Be awesome. Yes.
Those are the choices I agree with. What Phil's saying, I want that.
I want everybody to step up next generation, be like, here's the next Xbox and here's the next PlayStation. And I want everybody to go, man, I was with PlayStation last generation, but Xbox is doing something really special here on top of Game Pass, on top of accessibility controllers, on top of this, we're not going to try to break up everybody.
Still need the games, though.
They do. Time to squad up. This is where one of you writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody plays games together. Today, Frankfurter needs help on Steam. His username is Frankfurter, F-R-A-N-K-F-U-R-T-T-E-R, all one word. What's up, best friends? Tonight and Thursday, I get together with a few friends and we play random old games such as Gary's Mod, CSGO, Golf It, and much more. Tonight, we are trying out a new game, Hot Lava, and would like to get a full set of 8 people together. We usually play at 7:30 Central for about 2 hours. If you're interested in playing Hot Lava or any other random assorted games, please let us know. Frankfurter on Steam, all one word. Tim.
Yes.
We ask people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up. We didn't screw much up. We do have explanations that I asked for, though, right? In terms of, hey, what's going on with the Ashley Birch SAG stuff, yada, yada, yada. Nanobiologist has a bunch in here because he's on the case, of course. I was not wrong. Ashley is Tina in this game, which was the question of then, wait a second, is she actually SAG? Nanobiologist writes in to say, Ashley is SAG. She had to not be in Life is Strange Before the Storm because of the 2017 strike. Great call. That's a good point, right? Then there was more information going around, and this is the long answer we got from the one and only nanobiologist, right?
Nano B.
Update on if union members can be in non-union work. Global one rule. SAG-AFTRA members cannot accept an acting role in any studio, independent, low-budget, pilot, experimental, non-profit, interactive, educational, student, or any production unless their producer has signed a contract or letter of agreement with SAG-AFTRA. Rule number 9. By joining SAG-AFTRA, members who agree to abide by Rule 9, which states that members of one of the affiliated programs unions, Actors Equity, American Guild, it goes on like this, will not accept non-union work in another union's jurisdiction. Rule 9 states, it shall be conduct considered an action antagonistic to the interests and integrity of the union for a member of the union to accept employment in the jurisdiction of any other branch of the 4A's for the employers. What the fuck are we talking about? Does that make any sense to you from what we're talking about? I'm seeing
quadruple A.
And then it says that in the end here, in other words, nanobiologist says, call Troy and see what is needed for this. So basically, you can do it, what we were saying up here, right? You can do it unless if a producer signs a contract or letter of agreement with SAG-AFTRA. So you would assume Gearbox is not down to sign anything with SAG, which then makes it that Troy couldn't do this. This, of course, does not at all answer why Ashley Birch would be able to do this. There had been something in there earlier saying that they believed there was an idea that you could have a few non-union jobs, but I haven't seen this. Hold on. The difference between union and non-union.
It's on the side of Troy's union side, where they're just like, we can only have this letter written so many times. We're not going to waste it, right? Whereas Ashley might use that pull for this.
Okay.
And Troy's people are like, no, you're not working with us. You need to just do the union stuff. We don't want to do this with you. Okay. So that's why it's not working there. Because I feel like that would work. Which one of those things where you can get the letter. I'm sure it's not fun or convenient to get that.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that at some point they're going to question, like, why do you keep doing this?
Sure.
Which is why Troy wouldn't do it for us. Or Troy's people are like, we can't do this for
you. You imagine, too, Troy's so busy.
Yeah.
Right? That he's just like, well, it's not worth my time. It's not worth going through these hoops to go in there and be...
Yeah. There's a reason this system exists, and it's for you to work with the system so that I can just do my job.
Sure. Okay. And finally, Justin H. says, Greg, you keep calling it Destiny 2 and Shadowkeep. The game is now called Destiny New Light. Well, we mentioned the New Light thing being the free-to-play version. I was unaware that this has already happened, that they're dropping the two, as me and I was telling Tim they were probably going to do. If they have, they have.
I mean, I thought they already did that.
Back to the article here from GameSpun. It will become available in both Shadowkeep and the free-to-play New Light version will be available.
Yeah.
So New Light version is the free... guys, you can play Destiny fucking free-to-play. Everybody calm the hell down. All right, you know what I mean?
I'm calm.
Thank you. Let's run through hosts for the week. Tomorrow will be me and Imran. Wednesday, Odell Harmon Jr. returns to be on the show with me.
Whoa.
Thursday, Imran again. Then Thursday as well is the Kind of Funny Games cast, 2 p.m. Patreon.com/Kind of Funny Games. It's going to be Tim, myself, Fran, Imran. Then Friday, Imran and Tim. Woo. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been... Kind of Funny Games Daily. If you like it, consider going to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Kick us a few bucks. You can ask us questions. Get the show ad-free. Have a good old time. Watch the Gamescast live on Thursday. Remember, you can subscribe. YouTube.com/kindoffunnygames. You can listen on podcast services around the globe. It would mean a lot if you rated, shared, did all that jazz. Mm. Shout out to Mac Rumors, who today used Kind of Funny Games Daily in their article about how you can put podcasts into playlists and stuff.
I look at Mac Rumors at least once a week.
Oh, okay, awesome. Yeah. There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.